I know it's here somewhere. Finally. Oh, it's time for the doc. You're listening to Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon. Take it away, doctor.
Well, it's that time again, and the doctor is in. It's time once again for Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon. We have another show for you this week. We have a show for you most every week, except the weeks we don't. In which case, we don't have a show. But this week, we do. Yes. Well, we are proud members of the Tech Podcast Network, techpodcast.com. If it's tech, it's right here on Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon. We're also proud members of the Internet. I did it again. The International Association of Internet Broadcasters. I seem to be determined to call them the Internet Association. They're the International Association of Internet Broadcasters. Hey, I eventually got it right. Yes, Fred. I eventually get a lot of things right. Anyway, we have some exciting things to talk to you about this week on the broadcast, netcast, whatever this is, this thing that we do. LibreOffice version 6 is out. I said it would be out sometime around the first of the year. It is now early February, and it is out. Actually came out, I think, January 31st, if memory serves correctly here. LibreOffice 6. Now, I downloaded it. I installed it. I tried it. It's fast. Much faster than the version 5.4, which preceded this edition, which is version 6. Apparently, it's been rewritten. And it's been rewritten using C++ because it installs the C++ libraries when it installs. Yes. So if you already have the C++ runtime libraries installed, it won't install that. But if it does not have them installed, it will install it. It's smart that way. Anyway, LibreOffice 6 is out and it's fast and you should try it as soon as possible. Alrighty, let's move on, shall we, to the next item, which is, as I scroll in my blog, the blog, of course, is drbill.tv, drbill.tv, as it says there on the screen. Alright, Apple's iTunes Analytics. Almost an alliteration. Show podcast listeners are really out there. Hi. Yes, they're really out there. They now have these podcast listener statistics, which if you are listed in iTunes, and if people are listing on iDevices, iPhones, iPads, iWhatevers, they get registered or noted in the statistics. I don't think you get registered or noted in the statistics if you are not using an iDevice. Apple is just very Apple-centric that way. But at any rate, it is good that they now have some method of demonstrating that people are out there actually viewing and listening and things of that nature. And now, I start saying now a word from our sponsor. We don't have a sponsor at all. But we do have a YouTube rant. This is my official YouTube rant. And I'm just going to read it off the blog. Because I don't think I could say it any better than what I say on the blog. Okay, folks, it's time for a bit of a rant. For those of you that are not aware, YouTube has in the past paid YouTube creators based on ad revenue generated by people watching their videos on YouTube. At least that's how it's been up to this point. You have to enroll in their monetization program and agree to allow ads to be shown during your videos. You can opt out of this, and you might want to if you're a nonprofit organization. However, it's always been beneficial to earn at least a little revenue off of people watching your videos. This was a nice feature to those of us that put videos up on YouTube. However, YouTube has just changed the rules to make it harder to be eligible for monetization on your YouTube channel. In order to qualify, you have to have at least 1,000 subscribers, and those subscribers must have watched at least 4,000 hours of your videos over the last year. Now, for those of us that have small channels and less than 1,000 subscribers, we are eliminated from any monetization opportunities on YouTube. Now, to be fair, I've never made much money off of YouTube videos. In fact, months go by before any ad revenues generate enough financial benefit for them to pay out anything to me as a video poster. It was kind of nice to occasionally get a check for a small amount of money that could then be used to offset the cost of equipment, items I might be reviewing, and other various costs involved in producing a channel. It never rose to the level of earning enough money to support myself by YouTube. However, to me, that's not the point. If ads are going to be shown on my channel, oops, I scrolled past. Let me scroll back. If ads are going to be shown on my channel, I'll get it. And people are going to be watching them, then why would I not get a cut of those ad revenues? It only seems fair to me, no matter how few are watching or how many are subscribed. But this is not the way YouTube is looking at it. From my point of view, it seems to be that this will cause less people to post videos and express themselves via YouTube. And overall, this would seem to be counterproductive to YouTube itself. This is because the content that small providers generate is what gives YouTube the content that people like to watch. Anyway, I think it's a shame that this has happened, though I don't call it the death of YouTube, as some people have. YouTube will continue, and small providers like me will probably continue to produce videos, perhaps not as enthusiastically as before, but as an outlet for self-expression. YouTube is out there, and we will keep using it. So, that's my rant for today. Got to have a rant every so often. Otherwise, what good is it? Speaking of YouTube has developed a thing called YouTube TV, wherein you can subscribe to YouTube TV, pay the money for $35 a month, I believe it is right now, and you get about 50 cable channels that you are subscribed to that you can watch. Now, YouTube TV and Roku have announced that they are making YouTube TV available over the Roku. So there's Roku channels. So if you have a Roku device, you can subscribe to YouTube TV. You can watch these cable channels via your Roku and cut the cord, as the saying goes. Whoa! Yes! Geek Software of the Week time! Wow. Fred, you know, you could give me a little warning. Yeah, what's the fun in that? Okay, I get it. Well, Geek Software of the Week this week is really good. A lot of Geek Software of the Weeks are just okay. This one is really good. This is UR Backup, as it says there on the screen. UR Backup. You could pronounce it Your Backup. Get it? Yes. I think I'll call it that myself. So UR Backup, how does it work? Well, you install it on a Windows PC on your LAN, and then your Windows clients, you install the client for your backup on each one of them. The client goes out and finds the server and then backs up file backups for that PC to the server, and you could set it to back up image backups to the server. And then, this is the cool part to me, you download a CD of your backup. You boot off the CD on bare metal. It goes out and finds the server on your LAN, and you could do a full restore of your image to your PC. Dude, it rocks. Totally free, totally open source. Yes, I have implemented and I like it. It works well. It does take up a lot of disk space, but what do you expect when you back up a whole bunch of PCs to a system, to a server? But hey, if you got enough disk space, and you should be backing up your systems, particularly if you're like me and have multiple systems throughout the house, then there you go. And some of the systems it's backing up for me are virtualized. They're running under VirtualBox on a Linux box. And yet, the Windows PCs that are the virtual instances have the your backup client installed, and the backups are occurring across the network. Whoa. Pretty cool. All right, next item. Stargate Origins. You've heard me talk about Stargate Origins. It is a web-asode type version of Stargate, but it's produced by MGM, the people that own Stargate, and it is a high-quality production, and they have released the trailer for Stargate Origins. And it looks pretty good. It looks very Indiana Jones-ish. So, looking forward to that. That will be coming in the, first of the year-ish time frame. February, March, somewhere in that vicinity. Gonna be cool. I like me the Stargate. You know what I'm saying? Okay. Another item. Windows 10 usage has finally surpassed Windows 7 usage, which is a really good benchmark for Windows 10 to have achieved. Now, the great thing to me about this is that people are using Windows 10 now more than Windows 7, and Windows 10 is more secure because there are security patches for it, and it's just overall a more securely written operating system. So, good news. Good news for the security conscious among us. Because the less people that are out there running, I don't know, Windows XP, ouch, and even Windows 7, the better off we are, because Windows 10 at least is getting patched on a regular basis. Final item for this week, keeping Alexa quiet. She did wake up. This is the thing. I was talking about the Alexa commercial that's going to be coming out. I keep watching to see if she's waking up for the Super Bowl. They're going to have that commercial, and during that commercial, they're going to be using that keyword all during the commercial. So why won't these devices wake up and go, what? What do you want? Because they have a secret way, cool secret way, to keep it from happening. They broadcast a 3,000 to 600 hertz sound, which the device knows means don't respond to the keyword. Now, 3,000 to 6,000 hertz is below human hearing. Is that right? 20 to 20,000 hertz is human hearing. So why wouldn't a 3,000 to 6,000 hertz signal be audible? Anyway, perhaps in the article here they have the wrong frequency. But at any rate, I don't know. Maybe it's megahertz instead of hertz. Whatever. The point is, it's a signal you can't hear. And that signal will be played during the commercials, And that way your device won't wake up and go, what? Sup? That would be cool if it did that. Sup? Anyway, so it's going to keep her quiet during this Super Bowl commercial, which is splendid and worthwhile. Anyway, there you go. This has been an odd program. It feels slightly off. Yes, Fred, I know you think I'm slightly off, but I try. Anyway, that'll do it for this show. Remember until next time that the doctor is out of here.
Dr. Bill the Computer Curmudgeon is a production of DrBillBailey.net with all the honors, rights, and privileges thereunto appertaining.